Hey, this is Christina Quinn. I'm the host of Try This, the Washington Post's new series of audio courses. The idea behind Try This is to become better functioning humans without having to comb the internet for countless hours. In our first course, we learned how to sleep better. Now, we're going to learn how to make our friendships stronger. I'll offer expert tips that are doable, and I'll keep it short. So let's do this. Classes in session. Find Try This from the Washington Post wherever you listen.
Welcome to Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Aloha, fuckers. Welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked. I'm chill as hell.
It's the anti-slut shaming podcast, and it's Christina's birthday.
I'm 30, motherfucker. You know?
Happy birthday. I'm Corinne.
Thanks. I'm Christina.
Fisher.
I'm Christina Marie Hutchinson, born February 19th, 1988, at 9:15 a.m. in Doylestown, Pennsylvania.
Woo, woo.
Okay, come see us live, yo.
Yes, do that. Yes,
Hasbrook Heights, New Jersey. That's way out. That's a long journey, but I think you can make it if you're in the New Jersey area. We're going to be
From where? Oh,
I'm JKing.
I was like, it's pretty close.
I'm so chill. You can't even tell my sarcasm apart anymore. We're going to be at Bananas Comedy Club March 9th and March 10th. And we're going to be in a shitload of other places. We're going to be in Calgary and Ontario, a bunch. We're going to be in Ontario, Virginia. That was yesterday. So I hope you came. sorry about last night, comedy.com/tours.
Yes. And if you are like, oh, I heard you mention my city, but I don't see a ticket link yet. That's because it's not up yet. It'll be up. We don't need to see your crying face emojis. Thank you so much.
I will say, The Canada ones, that's my bad. They're there somewhere.
Whatever, you were in Hawaii. Yeah. You were in Hawaii enjoying your B-Day vacation. So everyone
goddamn
can
right.
suck it.
You goddamn right, bitches.
Yes.
Get off my back.
Yes. And also your album. I'm just leading
you
into it.
Maybe It's You is a comedy album that I made with comedian Joseph Vessi. It's highbrow dick and fart humor. If you want to escape things with morals, pushing agendas down your throat. It should be available on iTunes. It was not immediately because there was a fuck up with the timing. And apparently you got to wait 5 days before it's on iTunes. I didn't know that. Anyway, it's original sketches and songs by myself and comedian Joseph Vessi. It's on iTunes. It's $9.99. If it's not on iTunes, just click the link in my Instagram, Christina Hutch, and whatever the fuck link it's available on, that link will be in my bio.
And tonight, Nacho Bitches is happening. It's today, Friday, February 23rd, 11:15 p.m. at New York Comedy Club, which is East 24th and 2nd Avenue. As always, tickets are $12 with code Nacho. I'm co-hosting with Justin Perez. We have a really, really fun lineup, and I'm excited for you to see it.
Yeah. The next day, Saturday, which is February 24th, Wendy Starling and I, we're going to be doing Glamapuss at Zinc Bar, which is at 7:30 p.m. in the West Village. Tickets are $15. It'll be the best night of your life after Nacho Bitches. And you'll think, wow, can't life get any better? It can. Just keep continuing the fun. And also continue the fun in your fucking mouth. I'm talking about Daily Harvest. We've all seen a mouth-watering healthy smoothie on Instagram and thought, that's the kind of thing I should be eating. But who has the time to make that every day? Wouldn't it be great if you could get those picture-perfect nutrients without having to hit the farmer's market and chop up a million fucking fruits and veggies? Yes, it would. Now you can get all those superfoods super fast with Daily Harvest. It's true. I got Daily Harvest mailed to my house. It's fucking amazing. They make so many flavors of so many. Yeah, you didn't even know these things could be smoothies and is delicious and healthy, but then fucking Steven ate them all because they're so good. Daily Harvest sends superfood eats straight to your door with your choice of smoothies, activated breakfast bowls, or nice cream vegan sundaes that are really fucking good, I gotta say. Each single serving cup comes already ready to blend or heat. Cups are stored in the freezer, so they're ready whenever you are. The produce is organic and unrefined and looks as amazing as it tastes. This is all very true. I'm reading the copy, but I've experienced this as well, and I can vouch for it. You can actually see all of the whole ingredients when you open the cup. Daily Harvest freezes all of their ingredients at peak freshness, sealing their nutritional value. Preparing each cup is insanely easy. You just add water, or if you're feeling fancy, you could substitute it with other liquids. I personally use almond milk. Sometimes I use coconut-flavored almond milk because I'm crazy. Go to daily-harvest.com harvest.com and enter promo code GWF to get 3 items free in your first box. That is promo code GWF for 3 free Daily Harvest cups where you just pour almond milk or water, whatever the fuck in, and then you put it in your blender and then boom, healthy, nutritious meals. Daily-harvest.com. That is daily-harvest.com for those of you who are allergic to the rewind button.
And after you eat your delicious vegan sundae, you can have a good night's rest on your Casper mattress.
Oh,
Casper is a sleep brand that continues to revolutionize its line of products to create an exceptionally comfortable sleep experience one night at a time. With 3 mattress models, the original Casper, the Wave, and the Essential, Casper mattresses are perfectly designed to soothe and cradle your natural geometry. Not to mention, the breathable design helps you sleep cool and regulates your body temperature throughout the night. And it's delivered right to your door in a small, how do they do that, size box.
It's true.
With free shipping and returns in the US and Canada. But the best part is that you can be sure of your purchase with Casper's 100-night risk-free sleep on it trial. After all, you spend 1/3 of your life sleeping, so you should be comfortable. I have a Casper mattress myself. Alfred, as you know, has a Casper mattress. We're both very happy. He was actually laying in his Casper bed right as I left today.
Aww.
And he just looked at me and he was like, I'm lounging, bitch. So,
bitch, I'm lounging.
Can you leave right now?
Bye.
I love it. It's very comfortable. I'm getting quite old and still feeling all right when I wake up in the morning. So, guys, if you want to feel a little less old than you are, get $50 towards select mattresses by visiting Casper, that's Casper, like the ghost, .com/GWF and using GWF at checkout. Again, that's Casper.com/GWF, offer code GWF for $50 off your mattress purchase. Terms and conditions apply.
Yo, how was Hawaii?
It was so good. Nature makes me mad horny.
Oh, you does
but
it
just
now?
Just for like life. Well, not even to fuck. Just like, I'm just so happy to be alive. Like swimming in a clear blue ocean and then looking to your left and seeing a giant fucking turtle.
Yeah.
And just like, and then seeing a whale fully immersed out of the water.
Right.
I mean, what? Whoa.
Right. I do truly believe New York City is the greatest city ever, but
agreed. It was great to come home.
We are lacking nature here. Yes. We're lacking space. We're lacking nature. You don't see animals other than ones that are like domestic.
Squirrels, pigeons.
Yeah. I don't even barely count those. Yeah. I mean, it's, you need sometimes a little breather. I was watching the Olympics getting emotional, watching people ski. And I was like, girl,
you gotta get out of town.
You need a moment. a moment.
It made me realize how important that was. My second ever vacation, and I keep forgetting every time I go on it, meaning twice, of like how important it is
in your adult
time.
Life or
in
ever.
Your I mean
you never went with your family
yeah
ever?
we went to visit my grandparents and stuff. We never like went
you never went to like Disney World.
We went to visit Disney World once because my grandparents lived next to it.
Okay,
so yeah, I did go to Disney World.
Okay.
But we never went to a place.
Yeah.
It was always to see a relative, which was
right,
fine.
Right.
But taking time for yourself to just exist is very important. And
yeah.
I always forget that. And because I don't want to do it, my natural instinct is like, I don't want to relax. It's not fun.
I know. I was tracking you. I was like, this bitch better stop liking things on Instagram because she need to be enjoying her vacation.
I was. I put it away.
I was like, stop responding to these emails. You're stressing me out.
Well, I wanted to respond to emails once a night. Only
I know.
So I wouldn't get stressed out.
No, but, I know. And then it's then like, you can't, because there's nothing worse than coming back from a vacation and then just having a pile of shit.
One of the cool things though that I did, not in Hawaii, I went to Maui. It was fucking incredible. One of the first things I did when he got there was search for strip clubs. There's no strip clubs in Maui, which is fine.
I love nature.
I do too. We were in nature. And then I want to see some titties.
An outside strip club.
But they had this, they had these weird, shady karaoke bars where you would hire, you have to basically, it seemed like from the Yelp reviews, you have to go there and hire a sex worker in the room with you.
Oh.
Yes, $300 an hour. I'm like, I mean, do you want it? And he's like, no. I'm like, okay, fine. But then we went out to this like bar area where it seemed like there was like local people and like people who live on the island. And it was just fun to watch the mating happen. After watching whales mate,
watching humans mate. There's a lot of similarities.
Yeah.
Like just persistence when there probably shouldn't be, probably should give up.
That is such an interesting thing. When I watch Nat Geo with Alfred, there is just a lot of like poking the female in
annoying her to giving in.
And it's like almost,
I saw that a lot in the sea.
It's like hard
land.
For me to watch.
It is too. And then it sucks when the girl gives in and you're like, no, come on, make it work a little.
Yeah.
You were just appeasing. You wanted the annoyance to end, and that's why you say yes. Come on.
Yeah.
Girl.
Yeah.
But one of the cool things that I did, not in Hawaii, in LA, and thank you, Olivia, for inviting me to this. I went to a Time's Up meeting.
Oh.
And I learned a lot about that organization. They have I can't talk about this.
Well, they existed before the Golden Globes. It's just long before the Golden Globes, Time's Up.
Well, the Me Too, it was Time's Up as well.
Time's Up is an organization by itself.
Well, because we learned the women farm workers that wrote the open letter in New York Magazine. I'm getting these.
Oh, yeah, I know
up.
About that. Yeah,
sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
They were there and they spoke about how fucking hard it is to earn a living for your family and be working in fields and being sexually harassed. And they would say they would wear bandanas to cover their mouths from inhaling the dirt and the dust when they were outside. But they were also trying to disguise their identity because if anybody caught on to the fact that they were a woman, they would get harassed. And when they kind of merged with and they reached out to Hollywood in that open letter saying like, hey, we are so sorry this is happening in your industry and it's happening in our industry too. Let's band together. I didn't know any of that shit. So it was really cool to see the women from the farm worker women talking
right
out there and giving presentations. And Seth Godin was there, who's an author.
Yeah.
He was the first guy, I guess, who was ever asked to speak at one of the Time's Up meetings. But it was cool to be in a room with like Reese Witherspoon was there, fucking Carrie fucking Washington.
Oh,
I shook her hand. Olivia was like, oh, you want to meet her? I'm like, no, I don't. She's so amazing. But then to have those women come up on the podium and say, we're all the same. Some of you in here are screenwriters. Some of you in here are assistants. Just because I'm an actress and I do, like, it doesn't mean that we're better than, like, we are all here to contribute.
Well, because that's a common complaint that only like people in the spotlight or like these very like privileged people are kind of like, that we only paid attention because of that.
Well, they basically kind of know that that's how it usually goes. And
right.
They were like, hey, we get that a lot of times to get people to pay attention, we have to raise our hands up in the air.
Right.
Cool. Now let's give the microphone over to the women whose voices are never heard. I'm like, it felt real. It was amazing to watch. And Seth Godin did the most amazing TED Talk worthy speech. And he was talking about how the status quo is meant to keep injustice around, because status, keeping your status, what is more status hungry than Hollywood? And this quote, I think he said it. Yes, I think he did. Culture change doesn't happen because we are right or angry or in a hurry. It happens because we are persistent and understand that the status quo wants us to give up. We need persistent impatience. And I thought that was a really interesting idea. And he said, look at the NRA.
Yeah.
Look at how good they have been at infiltrating politics to sway the laws in their favor. They started giving money to politicians ages ago.
Yeah.
And it worked.
Mm-hmm.
So we can take a little note from that. And the emphasis on being impatient was echoed a lot during that meeting. And it was really fucking cool. So I just wanted to encourage everybody out there. Change is not easy to make occur. You have to be impatient.
Well, it's also like, I feel like there's a lot of like, you know, I'm not going to start caring about something. Like, it's like, I care, you know, I care in my heart. I care for that moment. I care when there's that school shooting, but I'm really not going to take any persistent action on it until it happens to me. And we see that a lot. It's not just gun control. It's with everything. And you know, that's why there is kind of a part of me that like, you know, I love, you know, like charities and stuff, but it seems like everyone just starts a charity or starts speaking out against something because the story is like always like, well, this happened to me. This happened to a member of my family.
Yeah.
And it's like, if we could all kind of like just fucking pick one thing that we feel inspired by or angered by before the thing happens.
That'd be cool.
That would be really productive.
Yeah.
For everyone.
I will say the Time's Up Legal Fund, I encourage people, if you have the money to donate to organizations, that's a good one to donate to, because there are people who email us all the time who have said they were raped or they were sexually assaulted or they were being, you know, unfairly treated in the workplace.
Right.
The Time's Up Legal Fund will help you get legal aid. They want to help you and they want to help you figure out what you're, you know, what you're entitled to, what is wrong and right in terms of how the law is written out. So if you have money to donate to that, I think that's a really good cause. And if you need help of that nature, you should reach out to them.
Absolutely. Okay. So we have a wonderful guest today. We've been wanting to have this person on for a while. She's a comedian. She's author of the book Speak Fluent Man. And she also has a podcast, the Coach Von podcast. Please give it up for Von DiCarlo Brown. Separately without the guest here. So that's okay. Not the episode won't start that way.
Is it weird? Like, you're like one of the hottest people ever. Is that
wow. Thank you.
Do you feel like
one of the hottest people
ever? One of the hottest people ever?
Really? No,
you're so beautiful.
Thank you. I get what people see, but just like every woman, I don't necessarily see myself like that. And I've gained a lot of weight.
Really?
Yeah. And I'm just like,
ugh. So you're not where
I'm not
for
where,
you.
You know, my greatest right now, but I understand. Like someone said to me, well, your worst day is somebody's greatest day. That's a wonderful compliment.
That's a fridge magnet.
Yeah. And I'm getting
older. That also doesn't help in the moment.
You know what? I don't care. Yeah. I judge myself as a stand up too. Like if I get off stage and they're like, oh my God, you're so pretty. I'm like, shit, I didn't
Well, that's
do good
annoying
today.
To hear. Yeah.
But if they're that like, oh my God, you're so funny. If that's first out the mouth and then, oh, and I didn't think you were going to be funny because you're pretty. Then I'm like, yeah, I killed that shit.
Yeah. Yeah. I really got through that barrier.
Right.
Of, he can think of me and not think of from his dick.
Yeah.
It is sometimes I've heard that before and I'm like, okay, I mean, okay. That's good, I guess.
Yeah.
Because you forget.
No, I appreciate the compliment.
I don't
but it's like
it.
At this point in
You're also
life,
very funny.
I don't care. I'm concentrating less on being pretty and more on being talented.
Yeah.
And my skills.
That's why I think you're very beautiful, because you radiate this energy that's just this confidence that I'm like, damn.
Oh, thank you.
I like that. That's
thank
part
you.
Of the package, not just physical.
Thank you. I say that's God.
Good.
It's so, God's light.
So let's start from the beginning of your life.
Oh, my God. Do we have time?
How'd you learn about sex? How'd it pop up?
Ooh. I was hashtag me too'd at a very young age.
Oh, shit.
Yeah. No, I don't have a great sexual background. You know, I grew up in a small poor town.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I grew up during the, what do you call it? The New Jack City crack era, you know, the Nino Brown era.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And my town was such a small, poor town, industrial. It was the biggest thing in my small town was the steel mill. I'm from Pittsburgh, Mon Valley area. Yes. Mm-hmm. 30 miles south in the Mon Valley area, this small little place called Clairton. And it's a tiny little town with not a lot to do. So you grow up
when all the drugs.
The
small towns in Pennsylvania is just like mess.
Yeah, and our town got hit hard during the crack era. Like, we literally didn't have police. I grew up on a project. Yeah, it was like the up the hill projects and the down the hill projects, and we pretty much
policed ourselves. Wow.
Yeah, they didn't care. So we had, I think, two state trooper cop cars that would patrol every once in a while.
State trooper, Jesus.
Yeah, but we had literally no police force. That's it, how bad it was there.
Holy shit.
The project I grew up in was called Blair Heights Project, but the nickname for it was Blair Nam after Vietnam.
Oh, damn. What kind of shit did you see when you were young? Like, how young are we talking?
What's the statute of limitations?
Depends on the crime. Yeah, that's true.
No, I didn't see anything. I'm trying to make me a snitch. No, I grew up around a lot of drugs, addiction, alcohol.
Okay.
Probably the reason why I don't do none of that crap. I always say my Aunt Cindy May, God rest her soul, saved my life because I watched her like 70s beautiful, like Pam Grier Afro. Beautiful, go from smoking weed with her, Miss Honey, her best friend. They would smoke weed, you know, drinking, about to go to the club every Friday.
Yeah.
And then it went from, hey, that weed smells funny, which is why I know what laced with coke weed smells like. And then that went from, why are they in the kitchen behind those beads? to, what's these tracks in Aunt Cindy Mae's arms and she doesn't have teeth?
So you saw the decline before
I saw the decline and I'm like, and she used to always tell me, you're so pretty. You're going to be a model. You're going to be a model. You're going to be an actress. And I believed her. I was actually working on a one woman show called Role Model that was about all
her?
Of that. Yeah. I haven't completed it. It's really just an idea and thoughts that I've been jotting down for years. But yeah, when you grow up poor and in small towns, a lot of the times you learn really fast.
Yeah, you gotta grow up fast.
Yeah, and
did you parent yourself? No.
I had a mom and a dad. You know, my mom, God bless her soul. I love my mom. My mom is still here. My dad is passed, and one sister that's 18 months older than me.
Okay.
So I hung around my sister and all my cousins and all, you know, in a group. When you grow up in a hood, you got your clique.
Yeah,
and I was the baby of the clique. So
you're the
two
adored.
Things. Yeah, well, not necessarily the adored, but the babied.
Okay.
So
okay.
If you're going to fight me, you have to get through about 10 bad bitches before you get to me. So I always had the mouth. I always had the gift of gab. Oh, I can say anything.
Yeah, because you had layers of security.
Oh, and snapping. You know, I'm from where snapping happens. You know what I mean? So I could snap. So I always had a mouth. Always had a mouth. But you gotta fight a whole football team to get to me, you know, that kind of thing. Plus, the other thing, getting back to the whole sex, is when I was like young, 11, 12, 13, really, really young, I'm hanging around 14, 15, 16.
Right. Oh, yeah.
So I'm doing stuff that's like 2 years ahead of my time.
Growing up fast.
And I lost my virginity to like a senior in high school, but I was probably what? 13 or 14. Like, I was mad young.
Yeah.
And at that age, when you're doing hood shit and being hood and doing stuff that you shouldn't be doing anyway, you know, you don't realize what that is until
you're growing up fast until you look back at it.
Yeah, you look back at it like, what the hell was, what?
Yeah.
Especially as a mother. You look back as a mother like, oh my God, no.
Yeah, and then you think of your kid like, oh no, I hope they don't do that. Holy shit.
But again, you know, my daughter didn't grow up in that type of an environment at all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I was super overprotective of her the whole nine yards, so.
Did you having sex at such a young age, did that catch up with you later? Or do you just feel you're like, oh, I shouldn't have done that, or that wasn't? Did you have any thoughts on that later?
I think that I did so much, including smoking weed and drinking and all that stuff as a young girl, that by the time I was 21 and grown and able to, you know, think straight as straight as you can as an adult, as a young adult. I had already kind of been there and done that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, good.
Yeah. So I realized at a really early age, you know, the whole drinking thing isn't for me because it just makes me sleepy and have to pee. I don't get the turn up. I really don't. Everyone's let's go to sleep.
A bout of energy after drinking for the first 3 years I ever drank.
Because
I
was never
like, this is
me.
Crazy. You guys were free. Like it was this rebellious thing. And then it just faded. And now I'm like, what's the point?
Never for me. The alcohol thing always made me Debbie Downer. So I became a quick, you know, I'm the designated driver chick early, as soon as I had my license. And then as far as weed, anytime I ever smoked weed, I felt like my crackhead Aunt Cindy May. And I was like, oh my God. I'm a crackhead. I can't, you know, a very paranoid person anyway.
Yeah.
So when you enhance that, it's just not fun.
Wow. So that's good. Cause I feel like when you do drugs, my boyfriend did a similar thing where he did all these drugs by the time he was 16, he did like every drug and he was like, yeah, nah, I suck on all of them. I'm not, and you either go that way and your life like opens up and you're a responsible person, or you just go hard the other way and it's dark.
And my mom is lightweight. Like there was a lot going on. My dad and all his brothers and his one sister, my aunt Cindy May, they were all addicts and addicted. My mother is a lightweight like me. She'll get drunk off of a cooler. Yeah. Like she can't have a Mike's Heart Lemonade or it's going down. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I took after my mother in that aspect. In a lot of aspects, I take after my mother. She has a very bright spirit as well.
Oh, good. Did she ever talk to you about sex?
I got to go way back in my mind. I think so. Yeah. Like growing up, our generation, our parents, like we had like high school sex ed and then we would come home and say stuff. But a lot of it was like sneaking around and talking and just finding out. Hide and seek was really hide and go get it.
Because at that age, you're like, I think I know what it is. And I know it's exciting. Like you're gravitated towards it, but you don't know why. Did you masturbate as a kid?
From what I can remember, I was born in the 70s, grew up in the 80s.
Okay.
So it was that time.
Yeah.
And my first masturbation memory is with Bobby Brown, Don't Be Cruel album.
Oh, yeah.
Let me tell you.
That's a good memory.
I love King Bobby Brown to this day. The Don't Be Cruel album.
Yeah.
He is the king of R&B for many reasons in my mind and will always be. But that's my first memory of masturbation.
Nice.
King Bobby Brown.
I love that it was to an album.
Essential. But if you remember back then, it was like all about the music videos.
Mm-hmm.
Like Bobby Brown's music videos, come on.
He looked good.
Tenderoni and rock with you. And then his live concerts, he would be humping the floor. I'm like,
yeah, wow. I haven't.
Whoa.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is hot. Man, I wish I was aroused by men when I was younger and I learned to masturbate, because then I would like carry that over to sex. I feel like I just like humped to stuffed animals. So like during
stuffed
sex,
animals
I'm like,
were a thing.
It can be fun
pillows.
For me too.
Yeah. Pillows, stuffed animals. I mean, I was never a fingers person.
Yeah, me either.
Even as an adult, like I'm not a fingers.
You either go fingers
sexually.
Or you're not fingers. Your fingers.
Your fingers?
But not inside.
Well, not inside. But you could do it with your hand.
Yeah.
I wish.
I can masturbate with my hand.
Just,
I don't like anything inside besides a penis inside me.
Yes.
You like it? You guys don't like getting fingered?
You just like quoted my heart.
It makes me, feel like a nauseous or seasick. Like, I don't know why a penis is okay, but a finger isn't. Also, fingers are dirty.
Nauseous. Yeah, they are dirty. I don't feel nauseous with a finger in there. I just feel like, why are you wasting my juice?
Right.
It seems like very middle school.
Or stirring
like,
it
what
up.
Are you doing?
No? Don't stir up my juice. No. Just give me the penis. Give me your juice with my juice and let's get it popping.
During the age in which fingering was at its peak, which is like teenage years, I guess, like high school, that sucked because no one knew how to do it. But then when people got older,
knew
how to do it.
That's what the fingers were for. Then it was like, oh my God, he just touched my
finger.
But after like that was over, fingers. I was like, okay, why are we playing these reindeer games? Yeah. Like, just, you know where it is.
Once you get it in though, because once you have a penis in, you're like, oh shit, this is fun.
Yeah. I know foreplay is important, but like, I'm just like, penis time. Is it penis time yet?
We're
September 29th.
Okay. I'm Cancer. I'm
June
24th, on a cusp of Gemini.
Okay.
I thought we were twins. I guess not.
I'm sorry.
Sound like me though.
Characteristics just sound like penis me. Right away.
Yeah. Like just go. Like,
do
I'm
you know
not
sexuality
even,
with signs? I don't know. Is that
I don't
thing?
Know. I don't know.
Can you determine it with
I think that Cancer people are very intimate, sexual people.
Okay.
Like, I'm emotionally sexual, connected to my physicality. Yeah. I'm not just physical alone. Okay. And I had to learn that. I had to learn that about myself.
Oh, about yourself.
Okay. Yeah.
And honor and respect that instead of using it as like, it's like, okay. Would you get attached?
Yeah, I came a long way. Soon as you penetrate me, I do. Like, literally. I had to learn that about myself and be honest with myself and say, listen, you just can't. You want to have sex, but you can't have sex. Like, right now, I haven't had sex since the beginning, like, last summer. Like, July or something.
Because you get hooked to the guy. Guys get that, too,
I don't like them, I'm like, yes, I love you.
What? That's annoying. Isn't that annoying when you like somebody and they're like, I'm going to date this other person now. And you're like, what the fuck? And then you're sad, but then you're like, I didn't even like you in the first place.
Exactly. But it's like, and the other thing too is like, oh, I can't be with a man. Like, I don't get this social sexual thing where it's like, oh, I could just have sex with you. But then he leaves and like, I can't even call you in an emergency. Like, who are you? Like,
what? That's a good point,
what
actually.
What are you doing here? Why? You just left. And mind you,
you were just inside me.
I understand how men could just leave and just be physical. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But as a woman, I've had to learn for myself that, no, I'm going to feel some kind of way about it. I do want you to still be here. Yeah. And it's part of our chemistry, our natural chemistry as a woman. Like, you leave, you go about your business for your life.
It's cold.
My period is going to change. I got to worry about if I'm pregnant. You might be worried about if I'm pregnant too, but I have to actually go through the feelings and emotions. And it's not just my emotions of attachment. It's also you changed the chemistry of my vagina and now my period is going to be
And then you're
different.
Just going to leave.
Yeah.
I'm just going to go to the supermarket.
I can still smell you on me for like 3 days. Like, this is, I can't handle this.
Yeah, I hear you.
Do you give men a warning? Like, I get attached? Like, do you tell them like straight up, this is what it's like?
I wish I did.
I don't know. So, we were talking to a guest last week and she kind of like, she gives men that she dates warnings about herself. And I found that to be very interesting and a kind of nice, like self-aware in a way that most people aren't.
Yeah, I'm definitely an advocate of honesty. Mm-hmm. I'm also an advocate of time and place for everything. Mm-hmm. It just depends on who you're talking to and when. But I definitely, and I talk about that, that's like the basis of my book is like just
speak fluent man.
Complete honesty is grounded in honesty and the truth.
Because sometimes women assume that men are mind readers and then you got to go, oh yeah, you're not. Oops. I do that all the time.
Because we as women, our intuition is so strong.
Yeah.
Generally speaking, that we assume that we do this as human beings. Men do it to us. Women do it to men. We assume the other person just knows. Like, you're reading my mind, or you feel this because I feel this, and I could see this in you. Whereas a man is also thinking, fair to him, it's like, oh, I wasn't thinking that at all. So why would I think you were thinking that?
Yeah.
You know, the
men are like beautifully simple in this way that I'm like, God, I'm jealous of. I wish I could be that. I wish I could think that simply. Because with guys, it's like, if I'm very concerned about how you would feel if I did this and you don't show that same concern about how I would feel if you did XYZ, I get pissed at that too. But I'm like, just because I have that quality doesn't mean you have to have that
Absolutely.
Quality.
Absolutely. One of the chapters in the book is logic versus emotions. I had to learn to fight my emotions to get to an emotion, to a logical place.
Yeah.
It's a struggle that we as women will always have because we're emotional beings. And that's fine. One of the things I can't stand when it comes to the men-women thing is women feeling like I don't think there's a competitive thing when it comes to men. I don't want to be a man. I don't want to take your place as a king. There's nothing wrong with being a queen, but in the same token, we just have to understand each other. So men can't look down on us. We can't look down on them and vice versa. Yeah. We can't try to take each other's place.
Because the second that happens, that's disrespect. And that's how you got to be equal with that.
Exactly. And then you start projecting all of these insecurities and you don't even know that you're projecting. It's like, how about we just understand each other as individuals?
Yeah.
And that goes across the board, even if you identify as a man or identify as, well, you're talking, you know, the LGBTQIA. thank you for all the letters. I don't want to get it wrong.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was actually just going to ask, like, okay, what if you are not like just defined as a woman or a man? Like, what about everyone else?
Right. I'm certainly not an expert in understanding what that is. So I can only speak on it from my opinion and experience with people in my life. I would say that if you are truly being honest with yourself and accepting the truth of the other person that you are in a relationship with, whether it's a romantic relationship, a brother, a sibling, a cousin, a coworker, if you guys are being living in your absolute truth, there will be some type of understanding. So what I'm saying and even what's written in my book, it goes across the board because it's just about being honest with who you are, what you are, understanding that sometimes that changes because we're people and we grow.
Yeah.
And then being accepting of the other person's point of view. You don't have to agree with me.
Right. People feel like, I feel like sometimes people think they have to agree with the other person in a relationship, romantic or otherwise. But it's like, why can't you just appreciate that they think something different?
That's okay. And well, be honest. Like I say this all the time. Women lie to get relationships like men lie to get pussy.
Everybody cut it out. Damn, Von.
Cut it out.
Yeah.
If that's you are a guy and you don't want a relationship, you just want to have sex. There are women out there
who just want to
Have sex.
Yes.
You don't have to lie about it. Be honest. You'll find that right person, right? Yep. May take some time or it may not.
And
who knows?
How easy would it be if you could just be honest about that and not play games?
Don't trick that woman. Now, in the same token, if you are that woman that a man goes, I don't want a relationship, I just want sex, and you go, hey, me too, and you're lying, then bitch,
you're not being honest.
That's like the woman who's like, oh, I love football.
Yes.
I wear the jerseys and the ponytail. And as soon as she locked this man up in a relationship, she's like, I hate football. Why can't we go to church on Sunday?
That shit.
Bitch, what?
You can't. You can't. You misled. You misled the person.
He's never going to not want to do football on Sunday.
Yeah.
Get in there, make the hamburgers and hot dogs like you've been doing. Live with your lie.
Yeah. Because I feel like people have this disillusion that they can't get somebody who wants what they want. But it's like, if you're not honest with what the fuck you want, how do you know?
Exactly.
What the fuck?
Exactly.
And I see it all. Corinne and I see it all the time. Like, we'll have during our live stage show, we used to do a show where we just had people come up and tell us like the biggest problem that was going on or whatever. And it was always like not the biggest problem ever. And people, 99% of the time, the solution was like, well, tell him or tell her or just tell the person. And then they're always like, oh yeah. Like, being honest feels. Have you ever had? Are you a stubborn person? I'm very stubborn.
No.
Okay.
Because it took a while to get stubborn. Through. But what I do is I like a lot of women, a lot of people. If I like someone, I'll just let so much stuff slide. Like I'll overlook stuff.
Yes. Why?
That I know that I'll give a pass for things like
yeah.
Oh, he doesn't have no bitch ass tendencies. He was just emotional that one day.
Yeah.
And then you look back at it like,
you can't spot red flags when you're falling for someone.
Yeah. And that's a struggle because when you like someone and that chemistry is there, you want it to work. You want to enjoy that person. But when those red flags come up, you're like, I didn't see that.
Yeah.
What was that?
Violently didn't see that.
You have to see it.
Yeah.
Especially as you get older. When you're younger, it's like whatever. But as you get older, it's like TikTok. I don't have time for these games.
It's true. It's easier. It's easier when you have experience. But like, I always catch myself. I never know I'm projecting. And I always give my boyfriend shit for like, you're projecting this. What is this about? And it'll take us 40 minutes for him to eventually tell me.
No, I have an incredible amount of self-awareness. Partly because of who I am as a person. I'm an empath. I don't know if you guys know what that is.
Yeah. I am too.
I tell people I'm an empath like it's a damn disease. Girl, I hate being an empath, but I am. So it's partially who I am and partially who, you know, spending the time in a relationship that I did. My book is a memoir based on my 10-year relationship with Patrice O'Neill, comedian that passed away 6 years ago. God rest his soul. Going into 7 years.
Seven, damn.
It's partially who I am already and partially him helping me to have an understanding of how to fight your emotions into a very logical place.
And to use the fact that you're an empath as a strength and not a weakness, because I feel like empaths, I've been reading lately, because I used to fall, looking back at my old pattern, for like dudes who just were narcissistic and mm-hmm. like really, but I never fucking saw it because you always see the best in people.
Absolutely.
So it's like,
I can see the best in anybody, and I can't stand that about myself sometimes, but yeah. I love that about myself at the same
time. It's rare. It's a rare quality. I think it's a special quality, but I'm like, how do you turn that into a good thing that doesn't fuck you
over?
Well,
what I've learned is you have to qualify people into your life before you give them too much access to your energy and your space and your time and your emotions.
Yeah, I'm just like, here I am.
Yeah.
Right away.
I mean, I'm sitting here with you too. I don't know you guys very well, but I could feel all the different energy, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, whatever's going on, I'm like, stop, get your day off of me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I feel like my mom, I just found out recently, this past Thanksgiving, she has cancer. I swear my headaches now are coming from my emotional attachment to the tumor that's in her head. You know what I mean?
I actually do know what you mean.
Every moment of everyone that I love, I live their pain, but I also live their happiness. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
And then it's
that sounds
really
very tiring,
happy.
Though.
It is.
Yeah.
It is very exhausting.
Yeah.
And you could get into a very deep depressive state.
See, that's what happened. It's very interesting that you said that because I'm like dealing with that very hard right now. The podcast in general, I mean, we've been doing it for over 4 years now and everyone's like, isn't it great? And like, I feel like in some ways, like Christina is like energized by like helping and doing good. And then I just feel like it just makes me like, it's like makes me really, I'm taking on the depression of everyone who is listening and like every problem that comes in, I just feel like I have that all in my soul now.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
it's like, and it's like positive because like, we're helping people, but then also how much can like one human being take? And it's hard. I have a real problem distancing myself from it. I've like talked to like healers about it, but it's like, how do you disconnect?
A lot of weight.
Like, how do you, and then, but also like, do I want to disconnect? Cause I don't want to disconnect, but I also like, don't want to die of a heart attack.
Right.
It's
very difficult, especially once a month. I'm like connected to everything in the damn universe. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to ball up and die.
Yeah.
But it is a great thing to help people. With whatever your path is.
Right.
It's a wonderful thing. But you have to remind myself all the time that you also can't save the world. You could just do your part. And if you're doing your part honestly, and even if it's one person or 1,000 people or how many ever listeners you have, if it's just one person, you've done your job. You've done your job.
See, that's I'm just like, I feel like a failure.
No, I get it. I mean, it's easier to say stuff.
Right.
Even like with the book, right? So people are like, oh, you're great at relationships. Like, listen, I have an incredible ability to see your shit.
Yeah.
I really do.
Yeah, it's a skill.
I can tell you all about you all day. I could give you suggestions. I can help you
romantically
see your
or
own
non-romantically.
Truth. Both. Because it's all connected to your truth.
Yeah.
I can help you sift through your bullshit to get to your truth because we lie to ourselves all day.
Just like, hey, Yvonne.
When it comes to myself, sometimes
it's hard
I'm
to see
like,
yourself.
I have an incredible awareness of myself. And I still, the hardest part is, it's like an addict that knows they're about to, like, put the heroin in their arms. Like, I'm completely aware of this, but I'm gonna do it anyway.
Yeah.
You know, so life is hard. It's like nobody has all the answers, even if you have the answers.
Yeah, that's so fucking true.
It's life. But like, what is, you're getting into like the purpose of life. Why are we here?
Right.
To help each other.
Yeah.
I guess.
And to have feel love. Romantic.
I mean,
friends.
I love love. I'm goofy.
Love for
as hell
everybody.
When it comes to love.
Yeah.
I'm just goofball. Just goofy. And I love love. I really don't understand the hatred of the world. I really don't. Yeah. Like, in a childlike way.
Yeah, the pure,
the pure
Why would
childlike
you be mean?
Way. Like, if you're nice to me for the rest of this show, I'm going to leave here like, we're BFFs.
Yeah.
But then I have to remind myself, like, no, we ain't.
Right.
Like, is there a knife in my back as I'm walking out the door? We could be, but we could not be. And just even as an adult, I have to remind myself, you have to qualify people. You have to give time.
Damn.
Whether it's friends or relationships, you have to take your time with people, and everybody's just in a hurry
rush,
to have sex.
They rush. You're so right. You're so right. We all have people email us and they're like 16, 17 years old. And then they'll say, you know, we just started dating and this person really wants to have sex with me, and I do, but I'm like, you could do mutual masturbation for a good 2 years and it would be sexually satisfied, like, and bonding, and just wait,
yeah.
Take your time sexually. I rushed. So I get it. I understand what that's like, but I'm like,
You have to go through different experiences in life to really know who you are.
Yeah.
And the funny thing about the truth is you always know your truth and you always know who you are.
It's
just getting to a place where you accept it. And finally, that's where I feel like I'm at in relationships and in my career and everything.
Because people are assholes when they don't accept their own truth, I feel.
Absolutely.
I'm an asshole when
and
I don't accept it.
And you do a lot of sad shit. Like the past 6 years, going on 7 since Patrice has been gone, I've learned a lot about myself, especially in the dating world, because it's like I'm thrust back out here with him for 10 years.
I was gonna say, 10
so,
years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, you're thrust back out there.
How
and
do
it's
you
like,
deal with that?
I don't know, bitch. You just do. And you go through a lot of different moments. And the biggest thing that I, like I was saying, you know, you try to, like, I'm just gonna have sex. And it's like, ew, who are you? Get off of me.
Yes.
And then you do it again and
but you
again
think
and
you
again
want something, and then you,
it's loneliness. And that's how I gained weight. I gained like 25 pounds over the past 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, dick and donuts. You be accountable
dick
for what you've done.
Yeah.
You know, be accountable for what you've done.
Yeah.
So finally, I'm grabbing a hold of all of that sadness, you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, because there's moments, I mean, I was telling you earlier, like, we've heard from a couple of listeners, like, this one woman sent me an account of her husband died in a car crash, and it was just, oh my God, the experience that she, like, the moments after when she left the hospital and she was like, I gotta eat, I gotta shower, I guess. And like, how do you...
You just... And then you don't want to be alone, especially if you've been with someone for so long.
10 years
been,
is so long.
As a woman, you know, you've been protected under this relationship for so long. And then all of a sudden, you're by yourself. Like forever, I used to say, I just got a name. Like I didn't have a name. I was Mimi's mom and Patrice's woman forever, it seems like. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh my God.
But you're such a strong woman individually as who you are. Like, who you are is so bright and shining.
Thank
that
you.
Must be really, that. It, did that feel really a little suffocating?
I don't, yes and no.
Yeah.
Because I made choices as a mother and as Patrice's wife, at, you know, not doing certain things. Of course, you're not going to completely focus on yourself.
Yeah.
You know, for almost 2 decades, my daughter, you know, just turned 19. So for almost 2 decades, I was, like I said, her mom and his woman. I put myself third.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's not like I wasn't doing anything.
Right.
I moved here from small town USA to, you know, in my mind, to be Whoopi Goldberg / Diana Ross, you know, with a sprinkle of diva.
Yeah.
You know, I was going to move here and do comedy and TV and film and Broadway. Like, I wanted to do it all.
Right.
No direction. I just landed in Times Square. Like, I'm here.
New York. Yeah.
Hey,
nobody
care, and they still don't.
It's a humbling but important lesson to realize no one gives a shit.
Right. So it's not like I didn't do anything. You know, I've been in a business for quite a long time.
Yeah.
And I have work under my belt. I have a lot of firsts in this business that people don't even realize.
They?
Well, let's look at let's say Temptation Island, right? Uh-huh.
That is what I'm dying to talk about, because I didn't know that. And when I was Googling you yesterday, and I love reality TV, and I was like, this, I don't know that she wants to talk about this.
It's
wait,
fine.
This to me is wait. Very exciting. She was on Temptation Island. Do you know what that is?
Is that a reality
it's
show?
Like it's like a reality we dating show.
Okay. So the reason
where
I
you tempt
that,
others.
Yo,
the
let's
reason
talk about
I say
that.
That's one of the first that people don't realize I'm a part of. I don't know if I should be proud of this or not, but it was like the beginning of the end. It was like we're trash reality.
I'm proud for you.
Dude,
I'm proud for you.
Temptation Island was the worst. It's like, if you think Love and Hip Hop and all these reality shows are
so. I like those shows.
Take a flashback, you know, Friday on Temptation Island.
Temptation Island and Paradise Hotel, I mean, are like.
So it was a
it's like the same show, but in a hotel.
A bunch of hot people on an island.
So for
basically.
With Temptation Island, it was the first. Like I moved here finally in like the late 90s. But I was
how old were you when
terrified.
You moved here?
I don't remember.
Okay.
Like mid 20s, early 20s.
Mm-hmm.
Early
that's 20s. That's gotta be horrifying.
And
because you didn't
I wanted to come here right out of high school, but I was told, you know, I had a journalism scholarship. I'm a writer before I'm anything.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they were like, you're very skillful as a writer. You have a journalism scholarship.
So go, you know, bark up that
and I'm
tree
like,
first.
I want to be an actress. I want to do comedy. I want to. And they were like, no, that's not realistic. Because where I'm from, people on TV are like, unicorns, they're not real. Michael Jackson isn't real where I'm from. It's just something you see on TV. And we damn near, you know, had to steal cable.
Right.
So back in the day, like one person in a project has cable, you just connect the wire through all the windows.
Right.
So this isn't real. I always was obsessed with New York and New York lifestyle and the comedy scene and what's going on in New York. And so when I got here, I was in the Jersey side.
Okay.
And I was just looking across the water like one day, you know, I'm going closer. But I was so terrified. I so shy and terrified. And it's like I was so attracted and in love with this business that I was afraid of not being accepted in it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because you loved it so much. You wanted so bad.
Finally, the first audition I went on was closer to the early 2000s. And it was Temptation Island. And I booked
it. That was your first audition?
What's and the audition for Temptation Island like?
They tell you what's going to happen. It's all personality based, just like reality TV.
Right. It's all like a real world. Yeah.
But what's interesting, at the time, I had my daughter. Uh-huh. I don't know if you remember Temptation Island, but they had the couples and then the singles. Mm-hmm. And then the black couple on there had a baby and they kicked them off for having a baby
because
they weren't supposed to be like married or have children.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that the couple lied and blah, blah, blah. Well,
they didn't
I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, when I was going through the audition process, they, you know, were asking all the questions, like the paperwork was as thick as a Bible.
Uh-huh.
You had to fill out so much crap.
About like and your personal life?
Personal
like,
life, details.
Oh, I can only imagine. Yeah.
And,
holy shit.
You know, you have to go through like a diary. All kind of tests. And, yeah.
Tests? And, like physical tests?
Physical tests. You have to have a mental
stability. You're not going to go. Okay,
all that crap.
Yeah.
So they know all your business.
Right.
They knew I had a daughter. And they wanted me... And, you know, her dad at the time as a couple. And I'm like, I'm not doing that.
Right. Yeah, you weren't with him.
Yeah. I'm like, as a matter of fact, I don't even say my real name on TV. Like, I was so nervous because I'm like, my daughter at the time was one.
Okay.
Barely one. She was super young. And I'm like, yeah, I'm going to keep this entertainment life very separate
from
real life.
Yeah.
So they cast me as a single.
Mm-hmm.
But I was like, oh,
my
God.
You were single at the time?
Was that with? No. I think my daughter and my daughter's dad and I broke up with him when she was like one.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So around that time.
Okay. We haven't been together since she was 1 year old. So that was like that time frame. And at the time I was thinking, oh my God, if they would have casted me as a couple and they would have kicked me off and I would have been part of that whole controversy.
Oh yeah, shit.
Like, was that real? Like, this is all scripted. This is all bullshit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, this was before you really knew, like before it was admitted that, yeah, we script this
stuff.
That
reality is not
reality. It's the most scripted shit.
Yeah.
Ever.
And I was the first one voted off. Like in the first episode, the girl couples and the guy couples, you know, they got to all the guys that were a couple and all. I'm saying it wrong because it sounds
the
gay.
Paired the woman and the paired the guys in a relationship with the girls in the relationship.
Yeah.
Okay.
They got all the girls got together and they get to vote one of the single women off. And
that's fucking
same
mean.
For the guys.
Oh, you're
well,
a threat.
It's mean, but it's like,
oh, the guys voted a guy off.
You collectively think all your guys are gonna go for.
Oh, yeah. So it was actually
that.
It was a compliment. She was too much of a threat.
Right. So I'm standing
shit.
Next to Lola Corwin. I will never forget her name. And
that's a strong name.
She was gorgeous. Gorgeous, beautiful, voluptuous Asian model. She had did Playboy. She had just done a Madonna music video. Like she, I was looking at her like, they about to kick you off here, bitch. And then they kicked me off. I was like, who, me?
Thank you. Oh my God.
I am the most intimidating. You got the right one because I would have probably like banged all your guys on GP. Which I probably wouldn't have because I wasn't attracted to none of them.
None of them were hot?
They weren't my type.
So wait, was none the point of the show, type. If it's called Temptation Island, to see if your boyfriend or girlfriend would cheat?
Yeah.
Oh. You know, I thought it was just a bunch of hot people trying not to fuck.
So
like,
the beginning of the end.
It's America. Yo,
America the TV
that's
show.
Fucked up.
Yeah.
But so see, I think that would be fun because I think that's hot. But
here's what I learned. And I wrote this in, I did a one woman show a few years ago called Lasagna, which talks a lot about coming to New York, having a baby, putting all your value in your appearance as a woman. And you know, when I was on Temptation Island, I was secretly trying to cover up all these stretch marks and all this. I felt like I looked horrible. I was really tiny at the time. I was still kind of skinny. But my pregnancy did my body terrible.
Really? How
like
so?
Stretch
what changed?
Marks from any part Where? Of your body that you could think of that you might get one or two stretch marks. Mm-hmm. I got a bunch of them.
Okay.
From the boobs to the hips to the thighs, front and back, all the way down to the back of my calves, my stomach, everything was a mess. That's why this show is called, Patrice actually named my one woman show for me when he read it. I wrote this like hell. At the time he passed, had already been like, I don't know, maybe 6 years into writing it. I can't remember. Mm-hmm. But he named it Lasagna because he read it and he was like, you should call it Lasagna because that's what he used to call the loose skin and stretch marks on my stomach.
Oh, that sounds sweet.
Yeah. So
is that in a sweet way?
Yeah. How do you feel about it?
Well, Steven, I'm in a relationship where my boyfriend will compliment my flaws. Like, oh, I like that you don't have perfect skin. And it sounds just super cunty when he says it. But then after I got to dating him, I'm like, okay, this is actually like a sign of affection. You actually do like really like it. Like he wishes right. I had like a gap in between my two teeth. So do I, but
it goes both ways. You know, as a woman, it's like, oh, I get it. And at the same time, you're like, oh,
stop
God,
focusing on
I
that.
I get it.
Yeah.
But I wrote this in the One Woman Show, and I believe it might be in the book as well, if memory serves. I talk about how you can, I understand how women could get addicted to plastic surgery.
Because
you want to fix one thing, but they don't tell you that, you know, when you fix one thing, you need plastic surgery to fix the plastic surgery. And it's just a spiral. So I had gotten a tummy tuck to fix the lasagna.
That'll then, fix stretch marks? That'll take
Yeah. And then I ended up with a permanent scar from left to right.
Oh,
and Patrice called that my Wonder Woman belt. I'm like, okay, you have a way it works.
A lot of nicknames.
But I had an epiphany because I was like, oh, I need to get a tattoo and scar treatment. I was going through all this stuff. And he's like, when are you going to stop? Like, you keep trying to fix this and that. And, you know, I wrote about that epiphany because I was like, right. You know, your confidence isn't in your beauty. Your beauty is in your confidence.
Yeah.
And that became a huge thing for me. And then I just stopped. I'm like, no. Even when I landed back in New York off of Temptation Island, getting kicked off, it did nothing for me. I wasn't famous from it. And even if it was, I didn't have the skills at the time to back up anything I was doing.
Right.
So it was the best thing that happened to me because it made me focus on less on trying to be famous and more on getting a strong skill set.
Yeah. Well, because that's what's going to carry you.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And that's what's going
to... And that's why, like, circling back to the top of the show, when you're like, oh, you're pretty. I'm like, thank you. I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
You know
no,
what I mean?
No, I know. It's like, I grew up
putting all that value there. Like, I was voted prettiest girl in high school. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's like,
you've been so pretty as a girl.
Yeah. And I'm like, it's they call it a gift and a curse, but it's like, I guess it is.
Yeah.
Because when you think that's the value and all you have, you put everything in it. So I became almost the opposite where I'm fighting so much against how I look.
I was going to ask if you've ever tried to dress down on stage for stand-up.
No, I dress how I dress. Yeah. I dress for me. I dress how I feel comfortable. I'm a woman.
There ever
I like
a time
to feel sexy.
I always had to.
That people tell me, oh, you need to wear this. You need to wear you just too sexy.
Up.
And I'm like, let me tell you something. I've been in this body a long time.
Right.
I can have a trash bag on. They're going to be like, ooh, what them titty and ass do? You know, they're going, because we're women, they're going to want to know about our wet or dry vagina, no matter what.
Yeah.
So I'm not, my job is to get on stage and open my mouth and shut down whatever you have in your head and make sure you're listening to me.
Yeah.
And I got a lot up against me. Like most comics get on stage and they're judged for their work or lack thereof. But for me, as you guys know, I'm a woman. So you got that. I'm a black woman, so I got that. I'm a voluptuous, quote unquote, pretty girl, so I got that. Then I'm the wife, widow of a legendary comedian.
Right. Yeah.
So I got a lot up against me and it's like, all right.
You have a lot of other people placing what they think your identity is. What
right.
they think the most important thing about you, which isn't even close. That's not, right. that's not who you are as a woman, as a person, as a comedian.
Right.
That speaks nothing to that.
So if I let that control me, which I'm not saying that it hasn't at points and times,
yeah.
but if I let it consume me, mm-hmm. I'll never get anywhere.
Right. Cause yeah. Cause if it, that's ego, that's an ego thing. It's right. not who you are. That doesn't. Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. And if I learned anything from Patrice is to be honest and true to who you are.
Yeah.
And go full 100% forward with
go,
it.
Go. Yeah. Go hard. Cause what's the point?
Exactly.
Damn.
So, you know, with the whole body issue and all of that stuff, it's like as women, it's okay to want to be pretty. It's okay. Yeah. But it's not okay if that's all you think you are.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because sometimes I'll see women on Instagram and it's this conflict in my head of like, oh my God, like physically the person is beautiful. I know nothing about them. I've never seen them perform or talk or whatever. But then I'm like, but unless you're a model, in which case that is your career and that can't be an easy career at all. That has to be right. really difficult and you have to have a skill set for it. But then sometimes you see women that you're like, oh, I feel like you're taking your looks and you're saying, that's all it is. That's all I got. That's the most I got. And I'm like, but I feel like you're probably so much more. But then I'm like, am I an asshole for saying that?
Right.
They can do whatever the fuck they want.
Right. And there's no judgment. But at the same time, we all say don't judge, but then we judge. You know what I mean?
All the time.
Judge Judy all over the place.
yeah.
But it's like this. People judge me. I'm going to have my little judgments in the back of my head, even though if I'm not trying to or whatever, everybody has angel wings over their own damn head.
But it's true. It's very true.
But it's like, all right, if I know what people are going to think, you know, I can't spend all my energy fighting against it. I just have to spend energy knowing who I am.
Yeah.
I used to fight against it hardcore. Like I would be so insulted. Like I have the look of a gold digger, so to speak. And I'm like, do you understand how well kept I would be if I was a gold? Like, I don't know. Like the Amber Roses of the world, God bless them. How do you do that?
Dude,
I've been using my vagina wrong forever. Like I'm with you because I like you. I've been with very broke guys. I've been with very rich guys and everything in between. And it's all been based on one thing. I like you.
Go for it. Yeah.
It's like, how do you sell vagina? Like, I don't, and I know that sounds goofy.
No, but I know like women who could be with men and I'm like, wow. But that's also, you're an empath. Like, you can't have that. You can't.
I don't even want you to like hug me if I don't like you. Why are you inside of me?
Yeah.
Get off me.
Yeah. Why are you physically the closest any other human being will be to me?
Patrice used to say that I'm a pretty girl with an ugly girl's personality.
Oh God. Now, what does that mean? I would love to know more about
that. If somebody said that, like, I'm sorry, what?
It was his way of saying I'm surprisingly, to people, surprisingly down to earth.
But see, that's what I think your beauty is. Mm-hmm. I think you are a beautiful
like
woman.
Like not stuck on beauty.
Yes,
not,
you are physically beautiful.
I'm not
beautiful.
The diva.
But you have an energy to you that's really sexy, and you are also outwardly sexy, and that rarely matches in my experience when I meet people. And when it does, I'm like, I'm just so like, wow, that's just like, that's real special.
Right.
But like, is that insulting to hear when he would say like you have an ugly girl personality? Because it's like, well, you went through shit.
No, because I
when
knew
you
what
kid.
It meant. Like,
yeah. And ugly girls do have better personalities.
Very true.
They just do.
And it's almost like because I don't want to say because they have to, but it's almost like because they have to. You know, not that they do, because hey, vagina is vagina. Like every woman gets approached.
Because you have, but it's also because I think maybe like, you know, a lot of like times quote unquote ugly girls, like most people with the amount of products and things that we have these days, you can fix yourself up, but it's like they're doing other things.
Right.
Like they're not concerned. Like taking care of yourself aesthetically it takes a lot of work.
Girl.
That's why
it's very time consuming
to be hot professional. That's got to be real hard.
You know what? I grew up in a way where it's like you, as best as you can with whatever you have. And I had a lot of hand-me-downs. And I was also voted best dressed in high school. Because,
damn.
Look, I come from a poor place. And a lot of times when you come from nothing, you spend a lot of time trying to look like you have something. Mm. You take a lot of pride in your appearance.
Like look a fake good. It till you make it. Yeah.
Not necessarily a fake it till you make it, but a look good, feel good, perform good.
Yeah, thing. Invest mm-hmm. in that part of yourself.
Right. So it's like, I understand. Like it's hard for me to just walk out of the house and not put effort in my appearance from head to toe. I just was raised better than that.
Yeah.
Like, I will go to Walmart in a t-shirt, but I'm probably going to have a fly bag and some nice shoes.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like, I have both
sides. Good. Like, but then
it's very what not
like,
to
my
wear.
Nails aren't like done right now, and I keep, y'all don't care. I'm pointing it out, but I keep hiding my nails. Like,
oh, I just noticed that the color was good.
It's just a natural thing of like, my nails need them. My nails look, how am I
what
going?
What it feels good to,
my nails.
That's why I feel bad. Like, when women, like, when they make their living off of their appearance, and I'm like, well, you're more than that. And one of the reasons why I feel like an asshole is because, like, that's a form of self-expression, is like putting time into your appearance, and like, you're doing it how you want to do it. And I don't know, right. it feels good to feel good.
It does.
I mean, I get it.
It absolutely does. And I was talking to my sister, who's my best friend, who is like a sister. We're not biological sisters. I do have a biological sister.
Oh, okay.
This is my best friend that I grew up with, and we call each other sister. And she was like, I'm not worried about you. You'll get your weight back together. Like, you're always in the gym. That's what you do. And I said, you know, that's true. I've been trying to figure out why that's my biggest struggle right now, is getting this weight off of me, because it's heavy, you know, and it's, I don't feel healthy. I don't feel good.
And that's the most important
part. Forget how you look.
So when someone's like, you're so beautiful.
You look fine. It's like, look.
How I feel is important.
And then my biggest pet peeve is when I'm talking about something, like if I complain about my weight, and then you're like, well, no, girl, please. If I look like, shut up. Ain't nobody talking about
that. That's not what we're talking about. Yeah. Yeah.
We're not comparing me to you. We're comparing me to me and you to you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
If you're 200 pounds overweight, but we're talking about my 25, I get it.
Yeah.
But give me a minute.
Yeah.
I'm at my pregnancy weight right now. I'm tired. I grew up skinny.
But also, so women won't let each other like talk thing. Down about themselves. And it's like, but exactly what, like,
you know your body.
You know you.
Yeah,
if you don't
know
feel
what
like
you could carry,
you're your best self.
I'm not here. I can't. My knees and my ankles are protesting against my ass every day. Like, this is not, it's heavy for me.
Yeah.
So maybe someone else is built different, and you can handle
them.
What I can't. That's you.
Yeah.
So it's like, we were talking about it, and I had a small moment, and I was like, you know what? Part of it is also, this is the first time in my life I have 100% been able to focus on my career. I'm doing stand-up full-time. You know, I am able to fully focus 100%.
Yeah, you're crushing it, dude.
So I'm like, maybe somewhere in my subconscious, I don't care as much about how I look. Mm. There may have been a point where I was like, you know what? I'm going to have to reschedule this podcast until I get my nails done.
Oh,
you know,
really?
There may have been a point where I had that much vanity in the back of my mind that was fighting those parts of me that's like, you're worth more than your looks.
Yeah.
Because we all have multiple parts of ourselves that fight all the time.
So exhausting.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I just think that I'm just at that place where I do care less about my appearance. I do care more about my health. I do want to live a long, healthy life. I do want to contribute to this world, except for every month where, you know, PMS is hitting. And I'm like, I'm going to kill myself.
You get really moody,
depressed
Do you have PMDD or?
I was diagnosed with PMDD many years ago. And you know what helped?
What?
It was me and Patrice were vegan for 3 years.
Ooh.
And when we were vegan, that went away.
Yeah, I just
no medicine, no nothing.
Went
away.
Yeah.
But again, these past years have been very rough on me. No excuses, but I have done, after Patrice passed, I literally was like eating anything. I think there was a point where I was trying to have a contest to see if it was Burger King or McDonald's that would kill me quicker.
Oh my gosh.
Like, ooh, I'm a,
how long
let me have a contest.
How long did that last? Like, how long, what has to happen for you to go,
I'm
you know what?
I'm still going through
fuck
it right
that.
Now. I'm talking through it right now out loud with you guys. Like, I'm still fighting. I'm still fighting. I'm fighting with an awareness, you know, but I'm still fighting.
Yeah.
And do you compare everyone that you've dated, you know, to Patrice?
No, I've compared no one.
No one, just because it's not even. It's a because it's a common thing that happens, you know, for people. You're like, oh, well, they were better, or that person would never do that.
See, I think that people say that when someone passes, if they've never had the experience of losing someone that they love. The best way I can help people understand how you don't do that is it's just like, let's say any other relationship that you've had in your life that you're no longer in, you learn stuff in that relationship. So you grew in that relationship. You learn stuff. You learn do's and don'ts. This is what I like. This is what I don't like.
Right.
From that relationship, no matter what that relationship was. Right. Mm-hmm. And you take every part of you to the next relationship. Like in my past relationship, I liked this or I didn't like that. As yourself of what your new standards are moving forward. So that's not comparing them to the person, but just knowing who I am as a woman and the things that, you know, raised the bar in relationships and things that I went, I wouldn't do that again.
Yeah.
It exists in that relationship as well, even though he's passed. I experienced death very early age. Like I remember one of the first funerals I went to was my cousin Tisha. She was 12, so I must have been like 10. And she died. She skipped school one day and they were walking on the train tracks and a train, it was a bridge. And the train came and her two friends jumped that way and she jumped that way. And it was like every other side was a board and on the other side, it was empty. So they jumped on a landing and my cousin Tisha jumped right down into the water and died.
Oh my God.
You know, I was young, you know, and then, and again, circling back, there were lots of, you know,
you saw
type killings and things happen. You know, I saw a lot growing up. So I'm not insensitive to death, but at the same time, I already know that when a person is gone, that there's no replacing that person. There's no comparing. I would like never try to do that.
Yeah. You've been forced to.
I think people or men who try to date me, they do that before I will. Like they'll compare themselves to you know, the shadow of Patrice.
Are they comedians?
Before I would. I would love to date a comedian if I love us as comics.
Yeah, right.
I know how to talk to us as comics.
I
don't have as easy time talking to regular civilians, if you will.
It is difficult. And people get very offended when you say that, but you're also like, but you also get offended when we say anything.
I can say the most shit.
I'm being honest with who I am as a person. I'm very outgoing, but I'm also very introverted at the same time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm learning how to be more open, but I'm one of those people that try to get out of there before the show ends. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God, don't talk to me. Because I'm like, I'm very, my sister used to, when we would go out, she would go, no, she's really cool. I was one of those people like in high school and growing up and stuff that they would say, she's really cool once you get to know her. Because I would just, you know, I'm internal socially. I'm learning to be better.
Oh yeah, I'm super introverted.
Definitely learning to be better, but it's hard for me. So in terms of dating, would I date another comic? Sure. I dated comic before Patrice. You know, date who you're around.
Of course,
Patrice,
yeah.
He knew about stuff. We were a very, very honest couple. And he said...
were you always that honest? Always honest with each other?
Day one. Day one.
Isn't that so nice?
And he was like, you dated so many comics, your pussy should have better timing. No, he said, you fuck so many comics, your pussy should have better timing.
That's amazing. level of comfort that you can have with somebody, that's a very special
day
bond.
One. It was like, you know what? We met at a time, it was like lightning struck, to be cliche, because we met at a time where I was coming out of a situation where it's like, okay, I was in a domestic style traditional relationship with my daughter's father. And I was like, oh, when you get into a relationship with a guy and you do all these things and, you know, wifey kind of things, they go out and they have fun with their side chicks and mistresses and stuff. So I was like, oh, okay. I want to be a side chick. Whoever has a girlfriend, come see me. Yeah. So I ended up the side chick of a very wealthy guy and had a blast. And to this day, have nothing bad to say about this person. And he was one of the few guys, other than Patrice, that I never felt lied to. And I was like, oh, because I'm just a side chick. It don't matter.
Right.
But within that relationship, I was like, you know what? I'm more valuable. I'm someone's wife. Mm-hmm. I'm not someone's side chick. I'm someone's wife.
The importance.
Right.
Yeah.
So I took those two experiences and those two thoughts, and I said, you know what? If I don't meet a guy who will respect me and put me on his arm as his wife, and at the same time have fun with me like I'm a side chick, I'll be single forever. And ironically, on the other side of the universe mindset of this was Patrice, who was having his own moment of the same thing. But as a man, he was like, I'm a serial monogamist, he used to call himself. I'm always in relationships. And when I get into a relationship with a woman, all of a sudden she goes from being fun to being like his mama, like come in at this time, eat this, do that. You know, and it's like, well, if I'm not going to be in a relationship with a woman who I can't, like, she can't be my wife and my fun girl.
Yeah.
Why would I be in a relationship? I'll just have seven chicks that I'm dating all at one time and just have fun. You know, so we met at the same time of that mindset where it was like, when That's I met perfect. Him, I was like, oh, where have you been my whole life? The truth is in the building.
Wow.
And how did you actually meet? Like, what was that day or instance?
Oh, when we met, he didn't like me at all.
Really?
Yeah. We met on a set of 25th Hour.
Okay.
Spike Lee movie. And he said I had pretty girl syndrome, which I did at the time. You know, I didn't have as much self-awareness as I do now.
Yeah, but was he pushing you a little? Like that thing where guys do?
No, he was completely ignoring me.
Oh, he was?
Yeah.
Oh,
okay. He was talking to, I think he liked one of the other actors that was in a movie. She was there. My roommate at the time who had got me on set, because this was before I was SAG. And she told the casting director, hey, my roommate's trying to get in SAG. You know, so I came in for the ADR, the voiceover work, and it was a day player part. So I became SAG that day. And I was really excited.
Nice.
And Patrice was in the movie, and a couple of the other actors that was actually in the film was also at this ADR session. And he was inviting all the girls to, he was doing Caroline's that weekend or something. And he invited my roommate, and with all my neck shaking ghetto-ness, I was like, well, can I come too? You ain't invite me. Like, because he wasn't paying me no attention. I was like, eh. And he was like, I assume she was going to bring you anyway.
I think it sounded like maybe he wanted you to come. And
well,
then he was doing the ignoring thing.
When I tell
know,
the
like
story, people, when I tell the story, people are like, oh, he gamed you. And I'm like, yeah, probably. Because I remember me and my roommate walked in and he was already on stage. I don't know why we were so late. And he goes, Von DiCarlo's here.
Oh, shit.
And he wanted you to come.
So, and then, but from that point, you know, we eased into a relationship. Like, he literally was like, you have so many men trying to fuck you. I don't think you've ever had one man in your life teach you anything or just be a friend. It's like, I'm going to do you a favor. I'm going to be your friend. I'm going to teach you everything you need to know.
And what did he teach you? That's so sweet.
Speakfluentman.com. Yeah. That was a whack plug, but honestly.
No, but that's,
he,
that's
was
where
him
that came
who
from.
Wanted me to write the book. I didn't want to write the book. I got to a point where he was like, you know, speak fluent me.
Yeah,
like,
you understand something.
Yeah, he's like, you're a black belt in Patrice. You understand these. And people who know him know he had these out of the box relationship philosophies and stuff like that. And he was like, I think women will listen to you differently than they listen to me. And he was like, and I was like, no, it was terrifying. I didn't want to do it. And to appease the situation, he was like, just tell me like the top things that you learned in this relationship. What would they be? So I did like an outline of bullet points, logic versus emotions, the natural order of things, double standards. And that outline became the chapters of this book. You know, at the time when I gave him the outline, he looked over and he kissed me on my forehead. He's like, oh, you're going to have a bestseller one day. And I just walked away from that. Like, thank God. I hope he doesn't like bring this up again. Cause at the, I wasn't,
you didn't want
bold
him to push
enough.
You
like
to-
this. I'm not, I don't want this responsibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, but after he passed, I went into super duper work mode of whatever he wanted me to do. I'm going to complete.
Yeah.
You know, I finished his albums for him. I completed the book. But people don't realize this, but Patrice and over the years of me being with him, we were, I wasn't just sitting around twiddling my thumbs. I obviously was working with him.
Yeah.
And the albums, the Mr. P, all this stuff on his website, patriceoneal.com. Mm-hmm. His albums, you know, he had recorded, and, you know, the record label had reached out to me and they were like, we have your notes from Patrice, what would you like us to do? Like, they didn't know what to do and stuff, but I was already working with him on stuff. So I already knew
what
to do. So you knew
the direction he would want to
go. And I'm very protective of the things that he would want done and how they will want them done. Mm-hmm. But I also try to keep it very, very separate from everything that I'm doing, you know, in comedy, obviously.
Yeah.
You know, I try to keep it as separate as possible. But even with like the internet, like speaking of like firsts and things, we like the Patrice O'Neal Coming Soon show. Mm-hmm. It was the only female on there. You know, it was a bunch of comics, me, Patrice, Dante Nero, Will Savince, Harris Stanton, Brian Kennedy. One of the first web shows. Before web shows were
We
didn't, you didn't even, what was it, 2006 or seven?
Yeah, that's early for that.
Patrice O'Neal show coming soon. We actually, BET just did the social awards. You know, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys know about the social awards, like giving awards to all the social media people and stuff. Mm-hmm. But we had one of the first, the Patrice O'Neal show coming soon had viewers' choice awards. We did an online.
It's innovative.
Yeah. You know, and it was a comedy show. It was like sketch mixed with improv, mixed with, we didn't know what the fuck we were doing. But I worked with Patrice, you know, the whole time, you know, we were together. We were, you know.
Did you ever find that it was hard to balance working together and having a relationship?
Never.
Really?
Never.
So you never had to say, hey, can we not talk about this right now?
No. First of all, you we're comics. So there was never a point of we're not talking about anything. Like talking is
life.
What, it is literally life. So everything is a conversation. Everything becomes something.
Yeah.
And there was, you know, points where it's like, you know, especially with the hardcore relationship stuff, it's like, oh, leave me alone. I don't want to deal with truth today.
Yeah.
You know, stop feeding me medicine. I'd rather be sick. You know, I don't want no medicine today. Sure, there were those moments. But overall, especially in comedy, I think Patrice always knew that I would come back around to doing stand-up. I was doing stand-up before we were together.
Yeah.
I didn't tell him. I was very intimidated.
Oh, he didn't know that?
Not at first.
Oh, okay.
So when I was doing stand up, I'll never forget when I did tell him, he said, hey, come, I'm around at the cellar, you know, come by, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, oh, okay, I'm down the street. I'm going. I come into the cellar. I don't know if you guys remember Sal's Comedy Hole.
I remember people talking about it.
Yeah,
I've never seen it.
I did Sal's Comedy Hole, and I don't know if it was like a wristband or a stamp, but they would put something on your hand saying that you had did the open mic or whatever. And I come in, Patrice noticed it right away, and he was like, what's that? And I was like, oh, I just did Sal's Comedy Hole. He was like, oh, and he pulled me away from the, you know, infamous table.
Yeah, the table. Right. The table. Yeah.
And he goes, look, you know, you're doing stand-up. That's cool with me. Teach you anything you need to know, you know, rhythm, how, you know, whatever you need, I got you. But the very moment he's like, you see how these guys are? You know, talking about the other comics, and you see how these guys are. You see how, you know, audiences could be. If you ever come to me and say, you're my man, why aren't you helping me? We're breaking up immediately. Hmm. But you take those bullets yourself, you'll be a great comic.
Yeah.
And I just looked at him like, well, I could do sketch and improv. You know, I'm getting work on One Life to Live. You know?
Yeah.
At the time, I was, you know, in my mind, Whoopi. You know, it was my early days in New York. I thought I was going to be the female Wayne Brady or some shit. You know, like, I thought I could do everything. I had, like, no skills and the heart, like, little skills and everything. Yeah. Undeveloped skills.
Yes, yes.
And what I learned over the years is stand-up is my grace. It is the only thing that I do where I don't even get nervous. I don't, you know, I could talk about it all day, write, think, eat and breathe comedy. But at the time, I was so intimidated. And it goes back to what I said about my first time being afraid to come into New York just to audition. I love comedy. I love comics. And the fear of not being accepted by my peers held me back from that moment. And it's crazy that the shadow I thought I was going to have to live in when Patrice was alive is actually bigger now that he's passed.
Yeah.
Oh, but it's okay. I'm a stronger woman now than I was then. And I know, you know, I know my grace. Mm-hmm. I know that stand-up is, I've been on and off TV since the early 2000s.
Yeah.
The one thing I haven't had is a foundation, a focus, a narrow vision. And it is and always will be from this point and on stand-up.
Yeah.
That's it.
That's
I don't
amazing.
Care if I get on TV again. All I want to know is how to be better and better and better at being a stand-up comic. That's it.
Yeah. Damn. Well, speaking of stand-up, where can we see you? Where can we...
Oh, I'm so bad at that. If you follow me on Twitter and Instagram,
I post
where I'm going to be. I think I'm at Broadway next week.
Okay.
I'm going to be with Jessica Kearson in March 9th and 10th, I believe. Brokerage.
Comedy
Club? I suck horribly.
So we just follow you on social media?
Coach Juan podcast.com is
iTunes,
my podcast.
Get that?
Yes.
Okay.
If you go to my website, you could get links to all this stuff. So just go there for social media for my podcast, which is Love Basketball and Comedy, and my book we talked about probably way too much.
I wanted to learn.
I mean,
what
it was all about
learned.
Relationships and sex. My book definitely I don't want to give the wrong idea that it talks a lot about sex. It really doesn't. But
this is important stuff to getting, I think, to good sex. Because a lot of people, they're like, a lot of times the sex is great. And the communication sucks, or if the communication's great, and it's like, well, that's the foundation for good sex.
Yeah,
you have to
know yourself. You have to know the other person. So I think there's, like, people say there's life changing information in there, and for that,
good.
I'm happy and blessed that Patrice pushed me in that direction and gave me a lot of the information to pass on to people. You know, absolutely happy and proud about that. But at the same time, wanting to let go, you know, wanting to let that go, let it live, let it be out there, and just focus moving forward on, you know, my stand-up career and doing comedy and giving myself a real fair shot in putting myself first for the first time.
Yeah.
Yeah, you seem very happy. I've never really met
you
before,
letter in my joke book? Mm-hmm. Well,
just with, like, who you are, I guess.
It's irresponsible, I think, to put your darkness off on people. Like, when people look at your social media posts.
That's my theory for life.
I'm very sad all the time. I swear we're twins. I can't believe we don't have the same birthday.
I try not to be in a bad mood.
But
I always am.
But it's hard because people perceive you as everything is okay and you're so strong and happy. And it's like, do you know that before I got here, can you not see that my face is swollen from crying?
Yeah.
But it's like, no, I'm not going to post that. No, I'm not going to come here and be dark.
Yeah.
That's irresponsible and it's not going to inspire anyone.
It's not helpful.
I don't want to inspire people to, you know, curl up in a ball and kill themselves.
Yeah.
I want them to feel hope.
Yeah,
you
sure.
know, I want them to.
So,
feel
would you
like
say
there's a chance to live and pass something good on?
Yeah.
To somebody.
Yeah. Are you happy? Would you say
no?
That?
No.
I'm miserable.
I'm miserable. But I tell
Me
you this:
too.
I am. I'm gonna find happiness. I deserve happiness. I will, you know, be in a solid, good relationship one day after I completely accept myself and the role I play for myself. And you know, I'm giving myself a chance. And the only place I really do have peace and my mind is completely clear and I do have joy is on stage.
Yep.
So for right now,
you guys are twins.
If it's five minutes a day, everyone.
Oh,
girl, if it's 5 minutes. Yes. I don't care what it is. You know, I'm not at an hour yet. I'm at best 30. I got 30. Got a good feature set.
Just keep pushing it.
We've been doing 30 on the road. I'm like, oh, this. At first, I was like, 30. I got to write everything down. I'm going to forget. But then I'm like, oh, you can play.
Just force yourself to do 35. And you have to make up 5 minutes. And you can do it.
Well, you know, I'm working. I'm very strategically. You know, I have, you know, my material that I work in, you know, 10-minute sets.
Yeah.
You know, you put those 10, 10, 10. And then you have that 10.
Yeah. I always, end of the year, I always like, I'm like, well, these jokes work. I can't do them anymore. And exactly. I'm like, let's just go on stage and stumble through this Lady Gaga bit.
but you got to that 30.
That's how
30,
it gets so good, though.
You got to that 30 with that hot five. You know, that five turns to 10, that was 10 your base. Turns to 20.
And a lot of silence and people staring at your face.
Right. I'll get there.
I like being all there.
I'll get to that headlining moment someday.
Yeah, you definitely will.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
But until then, you know, because I don't want to just be, I don't, of course, anybody, we could all in this room go, yeah, I'm going to do 60. But is it going to be a fire hour? Is it going to be a fire? Be honest with yourself.
Back, yeah, I mean, anyone
back to the truth.
Yeah, talk for an hour.
Right.
I could say stuff. It's not going to be great the whole time, though.
I have too many blessings in my life. And I spent 10 years with a man who absolutely did what he said, which was teach me a hell of a lot about comedy. I have mentors in my life right now that come from that infamous table that would be disappointed if I did some bullshit.
Yep.
So I refuse, not just in representing real good comics of the world. I want to be in the conversation with the greats.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not comparing myself to anyone.
Yeah.
I'm in my own lane with what I'm doing, and I hope that at some point I become such a great comic and have such a strong skill set at what I'm doing on that stage being funny that I am legitimately in conversations with great comics. And being a woman, that's a great mission to have.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You could talk shop with those people who are
absolutely
legends.
And I don't want to be known as a funny female comic. I want to be like
that term should just get thrown
in the garbage. I just want to be a funny comedian. Like when you think about Patrice, one of the greatest things about him is no one goes, oh, black comic or fat comic. Like they're like,
he's a comic.
Just Patrice. Like he's legendary.
He is him.
His material, who he is and was, stands alone. You don't connect him as a comic. Oh, fat black comic. Like no one ever says that.
It's his connections that he made with the audience.
Absolutely.
Was unbelievable.
So it's like, I'm not, I know too much and I've been around too much in this business forever. It seems like for me to just do bullshit work.
Yeah. Well, once you know greatness, you can't not do anything under that.
Right. Or at least aspire to be.
Yeah. Right. Right.
You know, whether you know, what's the saying? Reach for the stars, you might land on the moon.
Reach for the moon. And even if you miss, you'll land amongst the stars.
Right.
Yeah.
So aim high.
Aim high.
Yeah. Aim high. And that's comes from a spiritual believing.
Yeah.
You know, God is as high as you could get. And, you know, if he got my back, you know, if he's for me, who can possibly be against me, right?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mom.
The perfect ending.
Thank you so much
for spending the time with us.
Thank you. I hope I didn't run my mouth too much. You know, comics just come taking over.
No. This is honestly, when we have to keep like asking people questions to like fish for more information or they don't give a long answer, I'm like, well, you made my day harder than I needed to.
Yeah, right.
People give like one word answers. I'm like, okay.
I hate that too. And I knew what you guys wanted to talk about.
Yeah,
so I'm like,
tell your story.
Just make it easy.
Yeah.
Just bring up the stuff you want to talk about.
Very much.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you guys.
Of course.
Thanks for having me.
This has been Guys We Fucked, the Anti-Slut Shaming Podcast. We'll talk to you next Friday. Yeah.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.